Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Australia. Falun Dafa practitioners tell how reading Juan Falun has helped them. 800 Indonesian students learn Falun Gong. Kostroma, Russia. Falun Dafa art exhibition informs and inspires. CCTV reporters must have known about the staged self-immolation incident beforehand. Wife dies from injuries of police brutality following arrest. Husband still serving 8.5 years in prison for their faith. And Falun Gong returns to New York State educational event for the 14th year. Now for the stories.
Australia. Falun Dafa practitioners tell how reading Juan Falun has helped them. Falun Dafa was first introduced to the public in Changchun, China in 1992, after its founder, Master Li Hongzhi, lectured in Sydney, Australia in August in 1996. The first practice site was set up in Cabramatta in northeast Sydney. The first outdoor practice site in Melbourne was established at a downtown park in late 1996. The first practice site in Queensland was set up in New Farm, Brisbane in July 1997. After an advertisement for free classes was posted in a local newspaper, dozens of people came to learn about Falun Dafa. The first practice site in New Zealand was established in New Lynn, Auckland, in 1998. There are now nearly 100 practice sites in major cities throughout Oceania. Juan Falun is the main book of Falun Dafa's teachings. The book was published in Chinese and first released to the public in Beijing on January 4, 1995. Within 2 years, it was on Beijing's bestseller list. In Australia, it was listed as the 14th bestseller among 5,000 books. It was the only book on cultivation practice from the East, ranked among the top 100 bestsellers. During the past 24 years, Juan Falun has been translated into 40 languages and is read by countless people worldwide. More than 100 million people have benefited from practicing Falun Dafa. By reading this book, Falun Dafa practitioners' health and moral standards improve. They come to understand the meaning of life, and many experience immense changes in their minds and bodies. Ms. Dao Yufeng met Master Li during the East Health Expo in Beijing in 1993 and began practicing. She attended the first public release of Juan Falun in 1995, and several of Master's lectures held elsewhere. Ms. Dao recalled, "After I attended one lecture, it felt like I was floating home. I felt as full of energy as a young person, happy and comfortable." She said she wanted to share her amazing experience. "I introduced Falun Dafa to everyone I knew. More than 20 people in my family began practicing." Daniel Cameron, a 29-year-old practitioner from Melbourne, started practicing Falun Dafa in 2005. A neighbor told him about the spiritual practice when he was 16 years old. He searched the internet to learn more and downloaded Juan Falun. After he read the second lecture, he decided to practice.
Indonesian students learn Falun Gong. Last Saturday, Falun Gong practitioners visited the 43rd High School in Batam Island, Indonesia, to give a presentation on this ancient Chinese mind-body practice. The group was invited back to this school a second time after giving a presentation there 2 years ago. Practitioners talked to a group of 800 students about some of the spiritual principles taught in the main book of Falun Gong, Juan Falun. They explained that the core principles of the practice are truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Afterward, they demonstrated and taught the exercise movements. After the exercises, some faculty and staff members offered feedback. One teacher said, "The Falun Gong exercise music helped me focus and calm down. I felt the positive energy, and my body feels refreshed now. A security guard said, "The movements are gentle. The music is peaceful. I felt very relaxed."
Kostroma, Russia. Falandava Art Exhibition informs and inspires. The Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance International Art Exhibition took place on January 2nd through the 13th in Kostroma, a historic city in western Russia. Many spectators were inspired by Falun Gong practitioners' perseverance amid the harsh persecution in China. Some were very interested in learning the exercises. One woman said she was shocked by the brutality of the persecution in China. "It is hard to believe that tragedies like this could happen in the 21st century," she said. Anna, a college student who also works at a law firm, said, "The exhibit was an eye-opening experience." She said, "Many of us have no idea of what is really going on in China, such as torture and arrests. I feel bad about it, and I am really sorry for the families affected by the persecution." A young woman named Elena was moved by a painting in which a young girl is standing alone in front of her front door because her parents were taken away in the persecution. "The sadness in her eyes tells us everything," said Elena. "I can imagine how much the girl has suffered in the past and how much adversity she's facing." Nastya and Maxim, two college students, said the artworks were superb. Nastya said, "From them we can learn the true situation in China, how practitioners are mistreated over there." Since some of the artists had experienced the persecution firsthand, their paintings were able to present the tragedies vividly and accurately. Vladimir, who has written articles that criticize the Communist Party, said, "The brutality against innocent Falun Gong practitioners was striking and shocking." Tatiana, who is retired, said she wanted to try the Falun Gong exercises. She said, "I think this will improve my health."
CCTV reporters must have known about the staged self-immolation incident beforehand. The Chinese Communist Party staged the Tiananmen self-immolation incident on January 23, 2001. State-run Xinhua News immediately reported it. 7 days later, Chinese Central TV's Focus program began broadcasting the staged incident as part of the party's campaign to slander Falun Gong. According to the Focus program, its reporters filmed close-up footage of the incident after going to the site to collect first-hand information. The entire incident lasted only 7 minutes. Focus reporters were on the scene several minutes before ambulances arrived. In the Focus footage, in addition to the eye-level close-up and bird's-eye close-up, some images were taken from a far distance. The images taken from far away should be from the surveillance videos on Tiananmen Square. The words "Camera 71, January 23, 2001, and the time in minutes and seconds are shown in the lower right corner of the images. This provides a clue to determine whether the CCTV reporters were informed beforehand. When did the police contact CCTV reporters? Even if the reporters were informed immediately, it would not have been possible for the reporting team to arrive in time to capture the videos, because they would have to pass through the Tiananmen Square checkpoint while carrying cameras and equipment. The entire square was under tight security on New Year's Eve. The images that were taken by the surveillance camera show only two police vehicles near the scene, so the reporting team must have left their vehicle outside of Tiananmen Square and ran at least 55 yards to the scene. Once they arrived, they needed to figure out what happened, who to interview, and get the camera out and ready to take video footage. Doing all this within 4 minutes would not have been possible. Additionally, in China, it's hard to take photos at sensitive sites or events without permission, and close-up images are impossible to get without being approved in advance. If the video footage was recorded firsthand by the reporting team, The only explanation is that the team was ready and waiting near the self-immolation location. In other words, the reporters were informed about the incident beforehand and coordinated with the police to cover it. This is compelling evidence that the incident was indeed staged and indicates that it was a conspiracy planned at the highest level.
Wife dies from injuries of police brutality following arrest. Husband still serving 8.5 years in prison for their faith. While her husband was still serving an 8.5-year prison term, Ms. Liu Jinru passed away on October 22, 2018, after suffering for more than 2 years due to torture while in police custody following the couple's arrest for their faith in Falun Gong in June 2016. Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, is a mind-body discipline persecuted by the communist regime since 1999. Zhang Jingquan, who began serving time at Gongxiling Prison in April 2017, hasn't been informed of his wife's death. The couple from Saiping City, Jilin Province, was seized from their home on June 16, 2016. The police ransacked their residence and confiscated more than 180,000 yuan in cash. Ms. Liu was severely tortured at the police station. She suffered from a torn muscle and ruptured tendon in her left calf and underwent surgery for the injury. Upon returning home, she had symptoms of dizziness, vomiting, and high blood pressure up to 210 over 140. She frequently fainted and was mentally disoriented. Mr. Zhang was later secretly tried and sentenced in November 2016. His appeal to Saiping City Intermediate Court was turned down in March 2017. The local authorities transferred him to prison without informing his family as required by law. The couple wasn't allowed to see each other after their arrests.
Falun Gong returns to New York State educational event for the 14th year. Falun Gong practitioners returned to a combined class of three Board of Cooperative Educational Services programs in the Capital Region of New York on January 16, 2019, to talk about Falun Gong and the persecution in China. The practitioners delivered a slide presentation, personal testimony of the persecution in China, and a screening of the film Free China. This was the 14th year that the practitioners have taken part in the Board of Cooperative Educational Services programs. More than 40 students and their teachers attended the class. The students are academically successful high school seniors from across the capital region, and most of them had never heard of Falun Gong before. The hour-long presentation was rich in photos and facts and covered an introduction of Falun Gong, the overwhelming popularity of the practice in China in the 1990s, the persecution in China, which began on July 20, 1999, the staged Tiananmen self-immolation, organ harvesting from imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners, why the Chinese Communist Party is persecuting Falun Gong, and the mass movement to quit the party in China. After a short break, a practitioner who escaped from China and came to the United States as a UN refugee shared her persecution testimony. She had been arrested twice by the Chinese authorities for her belief in Falun Gong and lost her job and family. She had to live in exile for 6 months to avoid persecution and eventually escaped China in 2006. In the last hour, the students watched the award-winning film Free China, which reinforced what they had just heard. Free China is a documentary about Falun Gong from the personal perspectives of two practitioners currently residing in the United States. Jenna, a student representative, commented, "The documentary really put everything into perspective for us as we were able to see exactly how these people were being treated. We were all unaware of the extent of these persecutions and how horribly the practitioners are being treated." She added, "It was fascinating to learn about this spiritual practice and how passionate its practitioners are." The practitioners are looking forward to returning next year. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.